Welcome to Sorry I Offended You. This is Brandon Marshall Havener, and this episode is about scammers in the coaching industry and is cancel culture really the answer for it? So a lot of fuckery has gone on since I've last recorded. A lot of fuckery has gone on, and I want to say that I planned on doing a video like this, but then things happened. And now it makes more sense to make a video like this. So maybe the fucking drama and all that shit happened is because I made that plan that it gave me a reason to go even further. Now in this video, I'm going to be approaching this differently than some of my past videos. And it may be, I don't know, it could be permanent, it could might not be. But something I want to do here is I don't want to name names on either side of the spectrum. And I'm not afraid of naming names. The reason why I decided to do this is because I want this to be more educational and insightful, and I want this to be something people are willing to share and maybe think for themselves a bit and not point at out anyone as the bad guy or the good guy. Just my thoughts and something to look at, and you make your own decisions based off what I say. Now, this video can be very valuable for somebody who has faced cancel culture and how to respond and understanding what they are up against. This can also be good for somebody who has been pulled into the anti-coaching spaces. I hope to speak to the hearts of some of them to realize how that in itself can become a cult. And bear with me, listen to me. So recently and definitely now, there has been a big uproar between coaches and anti-coach accounts. In fact, my time being a coach, I've never seen this many anti-coaching accounts. You know, I've never seen anything like the Reddit threads. It didn't get to this level. There was definitely some back and forth and some people who had their gripes about the coaching industry and all that. And this conversation has gone forever about regulation and things like that. But the level of like all-out parody, bullying, things of that nature, it wasn't quite like that when I started out, definitely, and not until recently, in my opinion. Now you see a lot of anti-MLM accounts and anti-coaching accounts, and it's also mixed in with this anti-capitalism, as if this is something that's a reflection of the capitalistic system that doesn't work. And I disagree with them, but I also disagree with some of the coaches that they go at as well. And I think that if you disagree with both, then maybe you're the voice of reason. I also agree with them both. I think when a coach says that these people are bullies, I think they're absolutely right. I don't think it's that clean. I don't think it's simply revealing the truth. I think there's a lot of ego in it. I think there's a lot of anger in it. And I think with that anger, it distorts somebody's visibility into or their vision into understanding why they're doing the thing they're doing in the first place. And I think they have every right to be mad at some of the coaches that done them wrong, because I've seen it too. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it secondhand, and I've seen it third hand. You know, I've seen it all over the place. So in order to start this, we got to start with the coaching industry, because that's where it starts. That's where the criticism starts. You know, there's, if we're talking about chicken and the egg, what came first? What came first, the coaching industry or the anti-coaching Reddit threads? Obviously, the coaching industry came first. There have been victims of some serious shit. In some of the most extreme cases, there's been victims of sexual assault from coaches. People who trusted their coaches to be there for them. That shit is real. There's people who have been victims of financial abuse. That's fucking valid and real. Psychological abuse. In my opinion, some of the psychological abuse in the cult-like ideology is even worse than the financials, the finances. And in my personal experience and what I witnessed within my family, and I've spoken out about it, but this is going to be a more of a general video with no names, but I've spoken out about it. And when we've had a bad experience, I think the least worst thing that we went through is a rough Christmas where we were tight on money because of investments that were being made. And then the coach wanted to hold a boundary to make sure that she got paid within 2 weeks. five figures, no grace, no anything, based on programs that weren't even taken, but were agreed upon. So on some level, it's like, whatever, you know, it's money. It's a lot of money for many people, including us at the time. And even now it would be, a good portion, even though we're pretty well off. But that was a big pain in the ass, but it happened. Like, we made Christmas work that year, got things paid off in 2 weeks, and life went on, right? To me, it's not even, a lot of people focus on the financial abuse, which is big. It sucks going into bankruptcy. I've gone into bankruptcy before. I've overextended myself. I feel like I didn't honor my boundaries before, and my boundaries were violated before. I feel like I've witnessed cult-like things firsthand before. And it's a fucking, it sucks. It sucks to go through that. So I do think that with the knowledge I have and the things I see behind the scenes, people have good reasons to be upset. And I want to validate that first. Because, you know, I think a lot of times people have the perception when I criticize cancel culture and criticize the anti-coaches, I think they have the perception that I'm gaslighting them or saying that they shouldn't complain at all or shouldn't speak up or shouldn't stand up for themselves and things like that. Well, my complaints go into other things, and hopefully by me connecting with both sides of this, we can create some kind of, I don't know if it's unity or whatever. I don't want unity. I just want for everyone to look into their own extremism and their own cult-like ways, because we're all susceptible to fall into cults. And, you know, I have an observation with all this. I'm no stranger to financial abuse, something that my wife had to do in order to be successful in her business is to learn to build those financial boundaries with that certain ideas in the coaching industry. She had to make financial boundaries because the coaching industry, the ideas in the coaching industry, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of material out there that's not really good at building wealth, but people repeat and regurgitate things like it's the gospel and it's the only way. That leaves people vulnerable without financial boundaries. So that's a big thing. But like I said, the finances weren't even the biggest thing for us. The biggest thing for us was the psychological fuck, you know, like the mind fuck of it all. The mind fuck that comes before actually being able to set a financial boundary. Thinking that the way of the coaching space is to spend big, have a high overhead, to prove yourself, to be in the cool girls club. You know, I'm not interested in being the cool girls club, you know, but you know what I mean. To prove yourself by investing big, to having a ridiculous overhead, to staying all in all the time, which is fucking ridiculous advice in my opinion, and to make sure you stay with it one coach for a long time, which sometimes is good, but it shouldn't be forced. It shouldn't be, you know, it should be a decision where someone's like, this feels good, rather than, hey, I'm a fucking piece of shit if I don't stay with the same coach for a long time. You know, I even go back, and I don't know if I told this story before on YouTube, but I remember when I was really going through it, I spent so much money in coaching and investing in myself. And I don't fully regret it, because it gave me the skill sets and the mindsets of who I am today. I don't think I would have met Rebecca. I don't think I would be this person I am today. I don't think I would, you know, I do think it collapsed time for me, but I didn't know exactly what I was putting myself into. Let's just say it that way. And there's a lot of things that I jumped into where I wish someone just talked me out of it and said, like, look, it's play the long game, you know, quitting my job really early. Now, again, I don't know if I go back and change that, because, you know, by hindsight, yeah, I probably would have done things different, but at the same time, I'm happy where I am today. I remember this time in particular where I went to an event, and this is where I just got out of a coaching relationship. I didn't have much money, but I spent like the only money I had, maybe like $500 to go to this event because I just wanted that boost. Yeah, I wanted to get that boost of coaching. And part of that probably does come from a level of codependency. I go to that event and it was a good event, but there are some things I had issue with. And this isn't even about the people. Like, I still kind of look at some of the people and be like, yeah, you know, like, they're cool. I'm not mad at them. But there's a thing that happened. At that event, there was an upsell. This is where things got really weird for me. And this is something that the coach that was doing it, they probably learned from someone else and they thought it was the right thing to do. You know, that's a weird thing about this shit, right? So I go to this event, they do the upsell, and it's like this level of pressure and weird segregation shit. Anyway, they sat the people who already bought in the VIP room to eat because they're the buyers, and they segregated the people who didn't buy into the normal place that we ate for lunch. All right, whatever. Didn't bother me until we were eating lunch and this guy's going up to us and he says, he's going around saying, do any of you have a coach? And many of us said no. I said no because I just got out of a coaching relationship. But also I felt that fucking guilt that I always had to have a coach to be valid. And this is a type that's regurgitated all the time that you must always have a coach. Or how do you get respected as a coach or something like that. And there's some validity to it. Like, if you want to be a good coach and get a coach, like, having a coach will help you be better. But the level of pressure, the level of no nuance whatsoever in that statement, that's what puts people in stupid situations and codependent situations. So this guy asked, and I was honest. I was like, no, I don't have a coach right now. And he told us, well, how do you expect to coach people if you don't have a coach? And that felt like the most fucking insulting thing, right? You know, in this moment, I would have stepped up for myself, but I felt more shame. Like, yeah, you know, I should have done better. Should have found a way to get a coach. You know, this like hyper way of just making shit happen, right? I should have bought the upsell, you know, just like internalizing all that bullshit. I should have been appreciative of myself. And I am appreciative of myself now. Like, I took many chances at that time and I invested deeply at that time. But that's something real about the coaching industry that people go through and something that spreads because one person teaches another person some bullshit and it keeps spreading and spreading and it's serving the coach more than it does the client. And that's what's real. And that's a real gripe that I understand people have. But what is the pattern here? What creates a cult? Well, it's the codependency. It's the coach positioning themselves as the hero that you need them. That you need them to continue to make money. You know how many times I've heard from people where it's like, if I don't have a coach, will I keep making money? Because it's ingrained into our head that we must have a coach to keep making money. There can't be any breaks or any gaps. And that's just wrong. That creates a codependent dynamic, which has you falling into a cult. And something that I've seen here that causes this problem and is where the problem stays is the rescuer energy, heroism. And by no means am I free of that. How different am I if I go around trying to defend everybody from the coaches or the anti-coaches? I'm creating that same pattern of rescuing. It feels noble. It's tricky. You know, I don't think every coach has bad intentions. I think they want to save their clients because they want to do good. But we also see that problem in the anti-coaching space. They bend over backwards to receive all these negative messages about coaches. The people coming into those spaces sometimes are not telling the full truth or going with their side of the story or treating coaches unfairly in the process. That happens as well. Lies happen as well. And then you have these anti-coaching accounts. They're not getting paid. They work full-time jobs, and then they create this page because they want to make a difference. Getting burned out by receiving a ton of messages because they're being the emotional, you know, like they're just being the emotional tissue for everybody that comes their way. And the issue with cults and the issue with extremism is that when you create the void, if you haven't fixed the underlying problem, it creates a space for a new cult. So very well, you could have suffered in a sex cult, something sick and twisted in the new age coaching community. There's no doubt that that fucking bullshit goes on. One example I have is I know a woman, I've seen a woman's story who was sexually harassed or sexually assaulted by her mentor, who is quite popular and was in those personal spaces. And her stories are real and her pain is real. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't wish that on any of the women in my life. And I knew of her way before, you know, I've ever had any type of conversation with her, because I heard the podcast that she was on. And, you know, it just feels like there's no way that any of that information was inaccurate. It was carefully crafted in dismantling the cult that she was in. And it was fucking shocking listening to it. But also what's true is that same person randomly put my wife on blast. My wife had nothing to do with that person. But what happens is people are put through pain and then they project that pain on other people. And they create these trauma bonds in these groups. And their gripes about the coaching space is right. It's absolutely accurate. And hell yeah, you got to speak up about stuff. And hell yeah, you shouldn't be giving money to these fucking creeps. But what happens is you leave one cult into another cult that feels more comfortable with people who validate your feelings, who trauma bond with you, into the dark side of the web with these anonymous Reddit accounts, anti-coaching accounts, and you feel seen because you've been through the same thing. You've been through the same pain. And maybe at one point it was done with good intentions, but then the conversation devolves. Then they start going after coaches that did nothing to them. Then they start making up lies. Then they start body shaming them. Then they start bullying and harassing people that they don't even know the full story on. And that's where cancel culture gets out of control. So, spoiler alert, to answer the question in the beginning of this video, is cancel culture the solution of the scamming, the legitimate scamming going on in the coaching industry? And I say no. It causes more harm than good. It may do good in validating that person's experience and giving something that seems like a safe space. But let's be honest here, there is nothing fucking safe about these fringe Reddit threads of anonymous people that use it to body shame, to bully, to organize attacks, to jump into people's paid programs and harass them. There's nothing good about that. To go after random bystanders and make up lies and view the destruction of other people more important than actually regulating the coaching industry or whatever you claim to do. Let's be honest here. At that point, regulation is not the main goal. It's destroying other people. You know, getting justice for your own personal things is not the main goal. You're just taking out as many people as possible and bullying anybody who's going to lay down and fucking take it. For every one person I saw criticized that legitimately probably should be criticized, there's like 20 other coaches that are just by proximity getting torn apart without those people even knowing who they are. And for a shameless plug, if you're somebody who's tired of cancel culture and it's wrecking your visibility and your self-expression and your boldness of showing up, cancel culture is a shadow work of visibility. Once you understand cancel culture, once you understand the deeper reasons why you may fear critics or fear visibility and you're able to do the inner work to clear that out and understand the dynamics and the strategy of cancel culture, then you become free. Then you become free to fully express yourself and become more visible online. So if you're looking to go deeper into understanding and dismantling cancel culture in your life and in your business, check out my comments below my program, Fuck Cancel Culture. If you know me on Instagram, it's in my link tree. It's everywhere you can find me. It's going to be in the description. The program Fuck Cancel Culture will help you say fuck cancel culture and move the fuck on and be who you need to be. Because anybody who's big enough is going to have critics that try to tear them down. And it's something that is crucial to address if you truly want to be more visible, if you truly want a successful business. So this all comes with codependency and heroism. The same people who are codependent in coaching are now codependent to the extremist groups online and the hate pages. Not only that, they say that the coaching industry has done them wrong, but they're still being abused by the coaching industry by obsessing over it every single day. They have not yet shifted the energy and what got them in the place that they were in the first place. And narcissists can be thrown around a lot. And I'm not saying that everyone involved in these things are narcissists, but this comes from investing in yourself in a narcissistic way. In what's in it for me? What will get me a quick buck? What will make my problems go away? And we all have that level of selfishness on some level. But in order to be a good coach or a good business owner that's on purpose, is that the purpose matters more than the quick buck. It matters more than the entitlement. So that's the reason why people like me or my wife have had hard times in the coaching industry, but we stuck with it and we kept on with our business because we knew we were here for a purpose. I was coaching, teaching, creating content more for bigger reasons than someone who wrote a sales page and said, make 10K in 10 days or make 100, get 100K months. Those things are nice, but I'm here for deeper reasons. I couldn't picture myself fully giving up what I do and my personal brand to go back to a job, no matter how hard it got. And I'm not saying there's any shame in going back to a job, but like, even if I did go back to a job, I wouldn't give up in what I was putting out to the world. And that's the difference to me. I feel like people are sold, like it's not their fault. There's some responsibility there, but they're probably sold the dream that you can get quick cash, get rich quick, make 100K just by doing 3 posts or some dumb shit like that. And then they get pulled into it with selfish ways, entitlement, thinking that it's going to be easy. Then they get resentful and then they get mad. And then they get mad at the coach and they go into private forums and complain about them. Because it's harder than they thought and it was harder than what they were sold to. And in that case, both parties are guilty in my opinion. The anti-coaching cult aims to cleanse the coaching industry. But really, they're looking for power and submission from those that they dislike. It's a dictatorship. It won't be surprising when they start to eat their own. If any of them want to reach some level of success, because they will find a way to take the other person down. That's the type of environment they're cultivating. I've been there. I've been around people who like to cancel, who get into that drama, who like to pull people down. They're the most disloyal people to be around. It wouldn't surprise me if they all started turning on each other. This is a group of people that if you post that you only want to work people that you vibe with, they'll have a problem with it and they'll call you out in their stories and put you in the same category as the people who actually committed sexual assault. It's asinine. It's wild. It's, there's not a clear boundary. There's not a clear checks and balances. And this is the people that you would want less to the very least to call the shots in regulating the space. Down to the core, they're bullies. You know, I have a few experiences that I want to share to make my point. A few flaws in their ways of where they get something wrong and end up hurting somebody who is likely innocent. And some of the ways that they harass women and pull down other women in these threads, in these subreddits, is just absolutely horrifying. But that's what happened. It's like this whole ideology has consumed them. And it was radical to be part of a cult-like spaces within the New Age community and the coaching spaces. But it's also radical because the people who are radical in the Reddit and the hate pages, they were there to hear and listen to the people who were upset and recruit them. But just because somebody listens to and recruits you doesn't mean that it's not a radical space, or you're not causing harm, or you're not deep into something serious. So my call to anybody who still has sense, who is going around saying these horrible things about other people that they don't even know: why did you do this in the first place? Is it really worth it? Is this really worth your time? Are you really doing the right thing if you were completely honest with yourself? Would your life be better if you spent 30 days not looking at the Reddits, not looking at the hate, the anti-hate coaches' accounts, and you just took some time to reset? Because sometimes I see some good people who are mad at the coaches and who found a place of belonging in this spot. But really, it's become this radical echo chamber. You know, a way to avoid radical echo chambers and the way to avoid situations where, you know, even with coaching, is to diversify the groups that you are in online, to diversify the opinions that you look at, and to understand people rather than throwing labels and dehumanizing people. I think the biggest thing here is a dehumanization. You know, I'm not against speaking out about things. One of the misconceptions about me over the last few months is that I've talked about some things in the coaching space, but they say when they do it, I have criticism for them. So they think that I live by a belief system that I am the only one who's allowed to criticize coaches. That's not true. What I do have issue with is not having due diligence or a sense of groundedness while criticizing. I have an issue with the personal attacks. I have the issue with ganging up on people. I have an issue with the bullying. I have an issue with just going totally overboard and trying to destroy someone's livelihood. That's what I have an issue with. It takes the humanity out of it. It dehumanizes a person on the other side. And with that, I feel like it hurts any type of cause into helping people be better service providers than actually helping. Like, I think there is a great opportunity for people to talk. I've been in situations where there's been a narcissist in a group of people I was with, and people didn't talk. And by the time we started talking, you know, it was a little too late for some stuff. So I think it is important to say something. It is important to be truthful. I think it is to be important to take the measures not to get radicalized and to hear all sides of an equation. I honestly think if you think the fucking anti-coach space is 100% correct, I think you're radicalized. If you think 100% that coaches are perfect and they're correct, I think that's radicalization. And, you know, that's kind of like how politics is going as well. But really, the sensible approach is being able to observe. You know, it's not about like being fully neutral. Maybe you think one side is better than the other, whatever it may be. But you're able to stick to values and see the flaws and understand the flaws of the extremism that's happening. That's another important thing. What are your values? You know, if you had values in not hurting people, as a coach, when somebody says, hey, please, I'm begging for fucking mercy. I can't keep paying $5K a month because something is going on in my life or this certain thing is not working for me. And I know that we had a 6-month agreement and I paid 3 months, but it's not working. A coach with, you know, a heart and compassion and is seeing the human in another person would be like, you know what? Let's come to an agreement. Or they let the person go. But I don't think it would be unreasonable to say, let's come to a settlement agreement. Something where we both feel like we're honored in this space. And the same thing for the client. The client would be like, I understand that I'm leaving early. And, you know, I wanted this to work out. And, you know, they have some set of, you know, apologetic nature of like understanding that they're going back on maybe a word that they agreed to. But they're both working for a win-win. And then on the anti-coaching side, they have the humanity of understanding that there's another human on the other side of the screen. And I've heard the fucking things. I've heard the fucking things that they say that it's a business, not a human. And I say bullshit. There's a human behind any business. And yes, on some level, you have to treat it like a business. The business has to treat it like a business sometimes and stay to their procedures for sure. And the client has to realize that it's a business and not be too worried about hurting that other people's feelings. But the total dehumanization is not the way either. Any extreme to saying this is a person or this is a business is a wrong because it's both a person and a business. Just because they run a business and a company does not mean that there's someone with a heart and a soul on the other side of that computer when you body shame them, that when you claim that they're on drugs, and when you defame them, and when you try to turn everyone against them. All of that is not necessary to call something out that personally happened to you. None of that is necessary. And this goes back to trying to be the hero. Because the scope is far out thinking that it's your job to save everybody from an experience that you had, even though you may have not had that same experience. So the only way that the anti-coach would be satisfied is if they burn it all to the ground. And that's extreme. You don't need to rescue everybody. You don't have to convince every single person in that mastermind that you disapprove of that it's a bad mastermind, because someone could be having a totally different experience in that mastermind. Another thing is when you save somebody, you rob them the ability to grow and the lessons that you gain through that process. So even if they are in a bad experience and they're not ready to leave that yet, maybe they need that experience to grow. Maybe they need to learn. And I know those words can be twisted in certain ways. I know it can be like, oh, so you just think people should be traumatized and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, there's many times I went through hardships. There's many times that I bought into bad deals. There's many times where I made the bad decision. But if I didn't learn from that, and if someone swooped in and saved me, I wouldn't have grown into the man that I am today. And everyone has karma. Everyone has their just due. I don't need to constantly hack at the scammer coaches that I do feel are scammers in order for me to be happy. If I did, I would destroy myself in the process. Part of the reason why I'm so happy and free and, you know, just happy where I am in life is that I don't hold on to that resentment. I spoke up in times where I felt I needed to, but I didn't hold on to it. I didn't dedicate an entire account to take down every single person that I don't like, because it eats away at you. And not to mention when you try to rescue people that never even asked for you to rescue them, you're also saying that you view them as incapable compared to you. You are communicating that you are superior to them. And that's the whole fuckery that happens on the drama triangle. If you don't know about the drama triangle, This is every time someone's in conflict or drama like this, they're playing a role in the drama triangle, which is victim, villain, and hero. If you play the hero, there's got to be a victim. And someone is going to be painted as a villain. It happens like musical chairs. One day you could be someone's hero and thinking they're the victim. But then they have that resentment because, like I said, heroism comes from a place of feeling superior to somebody else. So then they finally feel like resentful of how you stepped in. And then they become the villain. Or you become the villain in their eyes, I mean. And this is why this mindset, it creates a community of where people eat their own. And it's not a solution. It's an endless cycle of victim, villain, hero. You know, the anti-coaching groups have not healed from coaching. They're perpetuating the same exact things that happen in the cult-like coaching spaces. Which is, if you're turned off by both of the rhetoric going on, that's probably one of the reasons why. Because they never healed the deep thing that they needed to. They shifted blame. There's a difference to standing up to yourself and creating boundaries and having people exit out your life versus someone taking so much real estate in your mind that you're obsessed over them and you give them all that power. By creating these anti-coaching spaces, you're giving these coaches that you say have hurt you so much power, even to the point of people who never hurt you so much power, by letting them have so much real estate in your mind. And the narcissism, the drama triangle, all of that has never gone away. It just changed. It just changed form. The same problem that you had being a coach or being a client of a coach in a toxic environment, it just changed form. Just like when someone breaks up with their ex, but they don't do the inner work. And then they just find the same exact person in a new body. The anti-coaches are the scamming coaches in a new body. There's nothing much different. And that's the game that is being played. So over the past week, I've taken some notes of where I've seen the anti-coach space get it wrong and how people can easily misperceive and how ugly cancel culture can be. So the first thing I saw was a coach was accused of saying nasty things to a client. So this coach, there was screenshots of someone saying nasty things, and I'm not going to repeat it all. It was wishing death on that person, wishing suicide on that person. I'm not going to word it exactly how it was worded. It was fucking ugly. The person calling out this coach produced screenshots of this. She then continues in her comment section and tags 5 other coaches for being responsible of the same behavior. No receipts or no specific reason why she just threw those names out there. We are just to assume that they did the same exact thing as the person she was originally calling out for telling previous clients to commit suicide. When challenged by somebody in her audience, she states, "It's not my job to educate you. It's not my job to do the work for you." So why is this irresponsible? It's irresponsible because it was just done with emotion. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't due diligence. There's not a thought that goes through that person's mind and say, like, make sure I get everything right before I defame this person. So then later, the original person defends herself, saying that it's a fake account saying those nasty things. She only uses voice notes. And the messages came from Instagram. And she doesn't even use Instagram. Her audience came to support her and said this information was accurate. I stood up for her simply saying to hear her out on her side of the story. That's all I did. And I was immediately blocked by this person doing the call out. If something is true and backed up with clear evidence, why does somebody kindly challenging that view need to be blocked? So this was irresponsible on many levels. She named 5 other names without any description. We're just supposed to assume that those 5 other names did the same exact thing as that person in the screenshot that was being framed. There was no response where I said, like, look, this person has their side of the story. Maybe we should listen to her. No fucking response. Just a block. Just a silence. Truth doesn't need that. And this is the other side of the call-outs. You know, it's one thing if you call out somebody who legitimately did something fucked up and you have clear evidence for it. And then it's another thing if you buy into the rumors and the lies and perpetuate those lies onto other people and ruin people's reputation. And maybe people don't understand this until they're on that side of things where they're being lied about and they can't even defend themselves because people, the masses, like a mass formation psychosis, are buying into the lies or buying into the rumors before ever getting the whole story. And my call on this is, if you think you're the more responsible one, if you think you're the good person, you think you're the person here to regulate things, that comes with a lot of self-accountability. And self-accountability doesn't look like reacting on emotion. So this is very damaging. This is why I just wouldn't feel sorry for the people who do these call-outs if they legitimately got sued. You know, because it's like, I believe in the defamation laws, you know, and I think it's just sick how people just spread lies about people. You know, I'm all for truth and revealing truth, but don't peddle up lies based off your perceptions and your emotions and then call it truth. A coach I know was accused of charging a client on a payment plan $200 extra. Screenshots were produced of the conversation. The conversation showed the coach not knowing what package he signed up to, and the assistant seemed to have taken care of the situation. So here's my deal with this. What was claimed is that the person bought a $500 program, but got a payment plan, and then claimed that they were charged extra to $700 total. There's only one way that ill intent could have been done, and there's no reason why this should have gone beyond the conversation of her and the coach's assistant. The one way that could have happened is if that coach was on a sales call and manually put the credit card in and manually kept charging the credit card, which seems very unlikely in this scenario, considering that this coach is based on attraction marketing. And this coach, it just doesn't seem like it makes any type of sense. What makes more sense is this person had to pay interest on a payment plan and didn't realize it, didn't fucking, you know, get all her information, and then blame the coach for her lack of financial intimacy on her side. That's what seems most likely. Something I've seen in Rebecca's business multiple times is that people will get combative sometimes. They will get mad because they thought they were charged an extra time, or they'll get mad because they're like, you charged me, this is stealing. In this fucking scenario, that's on the responsibility of the client. Now, it's my responsibility to show specific receipts of what they signed up for and what they agreed upon and remind them of those specifics. I think that's very important for a, you know, an OBM, a VA, a COO, or whoever, you know, or yourself if you're running your own business. That is crucial. Any of these people could have jumped into a group and defamed my wife for something that was happening in automation and that something that was misunderstood. So one thing for conflict resolution, you got to be in the space where you're not automatically thinking that someone's out to get you. You know, that's a mindset to have, to not fire at somebody even before sending a fucking message. And to have rules of escalation, you know, it's like, I personally take time before I ever, like, you have to do a lot for me to file a dispute with you, let alone talk bad about your business and defame your business. So that's what I mean. Like, you should be thinking with care before filing a dispute on someone, because that puts a mark on their business. And, you know, it's just not right to not try and communicate first, or not try to understand where maybe you got something wrong. And I think that's an issue with cancel culture, when people are blaming coaches that did nothing wrong except collect the money that was agreed upon on the date that was agreed upon about the around the automatic subscription that they already signed up for. All right, my third example is my wife was accused of buying fake followers, and in the post it included a screenshot of her follower count, along with cherry-picked lower engagement posts insinuating that she was buying followers. This post also assumed that my wife isn't actually doing well financially in her business because of the marketing tactics she's used. When I challenged her original poster, she completely denied what she's just said. Said that she was in fact not saying that my wife was lying, even though it was directly in the post that she just shared. I was being gaslit from something that was right in front of my face. Another commenter jumped in to say my wife lies all the time. I asked for detailed examples where my wife has lied, and she did not follow up on these claims. Here's what's bad about this. My wife doesn't buy followers. Everything's organic as this video is being recorded. In fact, we just started talking about creating ads. All the financial stuff is straight up. It's straight up in her Kajabi. I see it. You know, I manage it. It's nothing is, you know, there's no lies being made. Oh, and also something else that has been lied in the Reddit group is that saying things that we still owe money to a coach, saying that we are going bankrupt, saying that we are losing our house, just lies being spread. I always knew that these accounts have spiraled into envy, and it's more about taking another person down than actual, you know, it was more than justice. It's about tearing somebody down based on envy. I didn't know it was to this length where you would boldface lie to somebody and then you tell them like, no, this is not factually right and you don't have the evidence for it, and they don't care if they're lying. They just know it meets the ends justify the means. You can't create something better out of lies. You can't create something better out of defamation. So if you want to tear down something you think is bad, like the coaching industry, you got to be on point. You got to be calculated. You got to have evidence. You got to have your ducks lined in a row. If you're just slandering people based on lies, then you're not creating anything worthwhile. In fact, I would argue you're probably in the process of creating something much worse if you ever succeeded. So I end this with saying that extremism is a real danger. If you go too deep in the new age cult, you become extreme. Too deep into leftism, you become extreme. Right-wing ideology, if you go too extreme, you become extreme. Extreme religion, you become extreme. The Reddit threads, you become extreme. All have the potentiality of a cult-like aspect. And really the issue is extremism of all these things rather than the things themselves. I will say that having a private chat like a Reddit thread where you're organizing information and doing it in a balanced way, it might not be so bad. Religion that's not extreme is not a bad thing. Someone who is right-leaning is not a bad person. Someone who is left-leaning is not a bad person. And someone who has some new age ideology in their belief system are not bad people. It's when you bring the extremism of any of these ideology or any of these communities is where you find extremism and where you find deep harm being done to people. Moral of the story, the world doesn't become a better place until we become better people. The world doesn't become a better place until we look at the extremism and the tribalism that we're capable of. The world doesn't become a better place by always trying to tear the other person down and to be playing into this divide and conquer. The world becomes a better place when we listen to each other and we hear each other and we follow our own values. Over this past week, I've looked at myself and the ways that I may be rescuing people. I look at the judgments I have with the anti-coaches and some of the coaches that have rubbed me the wrong way in the past. And what bothers me about them? Well, what do I get to change within myself? Because what I perceive in them is within me. And what bothers me with them is in me. So the best that I can do is clean my side of the street. So if you're ever thinking that someone outside of you is a problem, and sometimes you do have to set those boundaries, sometimes you do have to speak out about things, but the ultimate thing before creating a dedicated account for tearing people down or to spending all that time and energy doing so, I guarantee there's something in your lawn that needs to be cleaned, something in your household that needs to be addressed. And perhaps if we could all look within, or at least most of us, we'd be in a better place, all of us. So my message to the people who are afraid of being canceled, first and foremost, jump in on my offer, Fuck Cancel Culture. You can find it in the description below. But also, have faith in yourself, believe in yourself, know to discern things. Don't put any authority over yourself. For the people who have gotten the raw end of the deal from coaches and feel violated or feel like they've gone through it, the same advice goes to not put an authority over yourself. That's one of the lessons there, to realize that you get to listen to your intuition no matter what anybody says. Anybody who says they have the full rules to success are simply not telling the truth, no matter if they mean well or not. So learn from those things. Speak out when you need to, but do what's most energetically clean. And a lot of times, dragging things on and focusing on tearing things down is not always the ways to be energetically clean. And if you're the coaches who fear that you may have done someone wrong, clean your side of the street. Tune in with your clients. Love your clients. Remember why you're here in the first place. You're here to help people. You're here to help people become better. You're here to serve people. Your mission is much more important than making a certain amount of money in a month and reaching those goals. It means seeing the human in the people you were meant to serve. And for those who've dabbled into the Reddit threads and the online hate pages, my question is, in what ways are you still giving your power away? Or in what ways are you still rescuing people, thinking that you have to overextend yourself? In what ways do you feel like you have to save the entire world? In what ways are you not looking within? This may be a simplified description, but I see the coaches falling into a few categories here. First category is there are true narcissists out there who are very destructive and may not be able to be redeemed. Or it's a very big long shot. I like having belief in people, but it could be a long shot. Then there's coaches that have worked with that coach and want to do the right thing, but they've received many distortions in their teaching. So their heart may be in the right place. They may be doing some fucked up shit, whatever it may be. Then you have the coaches who haven't done anything wrong. Maybe they're not perfect human beings, but they're not doing anything wrong. They keep their side of the road clean. They got good relationships with their clients. An issue what I see with all these call-outs is a lot of times all the coaches that rub them the wrong way are treated like the top narcissist that seemingly can't be redeemed and are dehumanized. And, you know, they aren't seen for people who make mistakes or are going through pain themselves. And I want to paint an example. Imagine a coach. They work with a mentor of themselves for themselves, and that mentor is very exploitative. But they work with that coach thinking like, this person is going to help me reach the next level. The coach said all the right things to the other coach, the client coach. So the client coach takes that on. Their heart's in the right place. Maybe you don't agree with all their strategies, but deep down they're a good person. And then they decide to part ways with that coach of theirs. Well, what I see what happens in these hate pages and hate Reddit groups is that they're like, oh, the rats are scurrying. Oh no, they're trying to distance themselves from the big coach because, you know, they feel like they're in trouble. Or maybe they've been abused too psychologically. So what does that do to somebody who has been psychologically abused? They free themselves from a coach that was psychologically abusing them, only to have a group of anonymous critics tearing them down on the other side of things. They're already trying to heal. They're already trying to free themselves. But then they got the other side of people that are trying to tear themselves down. And that's where, you know, I feel like this whole thing has become inhumane. And I also want to say that a lot of this stuff, a lot of this talk is unnecessary. If you have a problem, if you feel like you got fucked over by somebody, depending on the level of it, the first order of business is you file a dispute. And, you know, maybe you get support in doing that. But bullying is not necessary. Personal attacks aren't necessary. Making these secret threads where you go infiltrate people's coaching groups isn't necessary. Speak up about it for yourself. File a dispute if you were truly wrongfully done. There's systems in place. You know, we all talk about there's no regulation. And yes, that's true. But what about the regulation that already exists? Utilize that. File a dispute. Stand up for yourself. Equip yourself. Educate yourself. And then if you really need to, and if it's worth it, and if it makes sense, file a lawsuit. There's no need for that, all that extra stuff. All that other stuff is just ego. All that other stuff takes away from the actual message if you truly feel that people need to know about someone who is truly scamming. So send a message by filing a lawsuit. Send a message by filing a dispute. Send a message by, you know, voting with your money. There's nothing wrong with boycotting. There's nothing wrong with filing a dispute. And there's nothing wrong with filing a lawsuit. What becomes a problem is when you bully somebody and you claim to be some type of authority or expert on therapy or psychology, yet you do things that pushed people in the past to suicide. Well, you're not really part of the solution then, are you? Because that's one of the deepest consequences of cancel culture, is somebody committing suicide. And even if they don't, the level of fucking turmoil you go through, like our minds can't even comprehend seeing that many people bullying and throwing mud on you and all that stuff. Like, it's just unnecessary. And you don't want that type of blood on your hands. You don't want that type of karma. So, hopefully, the crazy, unhinged, alt-right conspiracy theorist, whatever you want to call me, hopefully I can be a voice of reason to some people. Hopefully I can equip some people. And hopefully this video can be liberating to some people. Thank you for watching this episode of Sorry I Offended You. This is Brandon Marshall Havener, signing out.